Bless the men as they speak. Help them, Lord, that in all that is said and done, it would be clear that there's no glory here due to anybody, Lord. All the credit and glory and any good that was accomplished, the souls that were saved, the tracts that were given out, Lord, it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of You, Lord. And we thank You for the privilege that we had to be there. And may You just make this a blessing to our church tonight as we give a report. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, we're just going to go ahead and get started here. I'm going to let, I think Chris is going to go first, and then Jason, and then Carl. And then if we have some time, we'll show some slides. All right.
You have your Bible, go to Psalm 91 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And first of all, I'd like to thank the Lord for keeping us safe. As far as my eyes can see, as far as I knew, that there was no danger whatsoever to us, really, as far as anybody planning on doing anything to us or any physical danger that might have happened to us. And I also like to thank the Lord publicly that He did leave us there the 2 days and that our plane was late, because He taught me something through it. And I'll go through more through that later. But this trip was a few firsts for me. It was my first mission trip. It was my first time out of the country, and it was my first time on a plane. So that was very, very interesting. There's a few different planes that we went on. We got first class the first time, so I got a little spoiled. And then the next flight we were in coach, so that wasn't so much fun. Squeezed in between Pastor and Carl. So, but. On the way back to Port-au-Prince, we got in this little plane, and I really came close to throwing up all over the place. But Carl said that he looked over at me, and I thought it looked like a ghost or something, and I guess, I don't know, I couldn't take it. But it was a good trip all in all. And one thing that's, I mean, I hear it when people come back from mission trips from the Philippines and stuff, and that everybody takes tracts. And I could probably count on my hand how many times somebody said no to taking a tract. And it was incredible to see how many people walking around with these green tracts in their hand, and some people have them open reading them, and it's just a blessing. You go to New York City and there's not that many people that take tracts. You get more people that reject it than actually take it. And there's some interesting things, I guess. The sleeping was kind of funny, because Jason got to experience this, sleeping with another guy. I had to sleep in the same bed, in a full-size bed with Jason. And it wasn't quite sleeping in the same bed as my wife, but I had to I took the first night I had to take my pillow, and I didn't really lay on it. I was just holding it the whole night, so in case I didn't roll over and try to hug Jason or something. And I probably already revealed too much, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And this is one of the things, there's two things that stick out of my mind that the Lord taught me through this trip. One of them was about looking for the Lord's coming, because nothing, it really, for the mission trip's sake, nothing really bothered me that much. The food wasn't that bad. Just the heat, it's nice coming home to an air-conditioned home. It's like, it was kind of weird. You walk in the house for the first time and it's probably hotter in there than it is outside. So, but it, none of that stuff really, it really didn't bother me, but the thing that bothered, that was, that I missed most was not seeing my wife for a week. And the Lord kind of convicted me a little bit that here I am just the whole week waiting and I want to see her, and the thing that disappointed me the most about being late was that I was so excited, I'm going to go home and finally get to sleep with my wife now, Jason. But the plane got delayed and I was just disappointed about that, I wasn't going to see her. And then the Lord convicted me about, am I looking for His coming that way? Am I looking to see Him in heaven one day, that one day we're going to be with Him and the Lord? And is that as much on my mind as it was waiting to see her? And then this other, the other thing was Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, it says, in the first verse, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, and nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." And what the Lord taught me by leaving us there in Haiti and for those 2 extra days, and we didn't have that comfort of knowing that Maurice would be able to take care of us because he wasn't there with us. We didn't have that comfort of somebody that knew the language and could can get us a hotel easily and could talk to the people, and we could just basically rest on Him. But on that, for those 2 days, it was just basically resting on the Lord. And that one night when we were waiting for a taxi driver to come, and we were standing outside the airport, and it was about a half hour late, and we see that there was this other guy. Another guy that was saying, "Oh, I'll take you to the hotel," and Carl was saying that, "How do you know if this guy just doesn't have a gun or something and is gonna just leave us on the side of the road and just take all of our stuff?" And it was just, and then we get to the, with the taxi driver came and he brought us to the hotel, and we walk in, and now all the buildings in Haiti are, they have concrete walls around them with barbed wire at the top, and then the door is usually a steel door that you have to go into. So Carl knocks on the door and he walks in, and then there's 2 guys with shotguns waiting there, security guards at the hotel. And it was just a very incredible experience. It was nothing I've ever experienced in my life, waiting in the hotel, trying to check in, and we don't know what's going on. There's guys with shotguns outside, and like, we don't know what's going to happen. So all that stuff got a little scary, but the Lord protected us, and the Lord kept us safe. I made friends with one of the guys with the shotguns, and I figured if I'm going to make friends with anybody, I'm going to make friends with him. but the Lord taught us, the Lord taught me that no matter what, He's in control. And it's easy here in America, usually nothing. Sometimes if there's a late flight, you can usually get another one. If anything, you're not on time for something, and pretty much everything's under control. But at that point, there was some scary points, but the Lord kept us safe, and that's why I thank the Lord for keeping us there and letting us go through that, so that I could know how to lean upon the Lord and rest upon Him. And what, no matter what, he's in control, and we could have been kidnapped, we could have been anything, but He gave us a hotel with a pool. We got to do chicken fights. I was on top of Pastor's shoulders, and but Debbie wanted me to mention that. But it was, and I thank the Lord that there was internet there, so we got a flight on Expedia. We were able to talk to our family and email them, and the Lord just really kept us safe through that whole ordeal, and I just thank the Lord for that. And Jason.
Hello, everyone. I really don't. I'm really not comfortable really speaking in front of people. I don't have any Bible verses I memorized or anything. I'm just going to speak from my heart. And more or less, everything that I learned on this trip was all God's will and all God's plan. I've been praying for months prior to this trip, and I was like, you know, if the Lord really wants me to go on this trip, He's going to make it happen for me, and everything more or less came through, and I was like, all right, Lord, you know, this is the first trip I've ever been on myself, and I was wondering, I was just praying for the last month, like, all right, Lord, you know, I know You want me to learn something from this trip. I know this isn't going to be for me, this is going to be absolutely for You, and I'm going to just go out there and do Your work, and I wanted to just try to do everything for Him, and it was amazing, the trip. Not just because of all the blessings that came out of it. I mean, 11 people got saved from the trip, I mean, in that 4 days, which was a blessing with itself. But just the blessing of being born in this country, number one, and not being in a place where it seemed like the devil just has total control of. It was something so surreal that it's something I can never, ever get out of my mind. And I just thank the Lord every single day for Him having a great family, having a great church that I could come to and learn the true gospel of Christ here. And I could just be so comfortable and safe. And on that trip, it was, I know Chris said that we weren't really much in danger, and I mean, the drive to Mackay was something I'll never forget ever in my life. And I'm telling you, there was about at least half a dozen number threes. If I know people really don't know what we're talking about, but three was more or less like I thought my life was gonna end right there, and it was just amazing that it seemed like just Christ had this in us, this bubble, and protecting us getting to Lakai, and it was just so surreal, and I felt so bad for the people that you just wanted to empty out your pockets for them and really give anything and everything to them, because on the trip we had this Bible conferences at night, and you would see these people just sing their hearts out to God and to Christ, and majority of them don't even have Bibles to even go home and read about, and it's just amazing that these people live in such poverty and just have such a love for God that it's almost something that I almost like look up to. But I'm just glad that I could actually go out there and give the true gospel to these people, and we all need Christ, and we all need His blessings and mercy, and the people over there especially need it, because there's really nothing out there really for them except for Christ to guide them in their lives. And the images that I've seen there, I'm sure, I mean, I've told Pastor, I told Carl about it. There was this one poor kid, I think he was like 15, 16 years old, and he was like just stark naked and had pieces of his shoulder missing from, it seemed like almost like a bird kind of like pecking at it. And just the images are so drastic, and it seemed like the Staten Island dump was just riddled these beaches with just garbage and soot, and it was like a paradise just went to literally hell. And it was, I just felt very, how can I say, very unnerving when I was there. And I just want to thank the Lord that He really just protected us, because I was praying for months for His protection. And Chris was telling the story about us getting stranded there 2 days. And I don't know if many people know, I'm trying to get on the fire department, and I had my medical that Tuesday. And pastor came up to us, he's like, we're not going to really have a flight until Thursday. And I'm like, I mean, that moment I was just like, I just started praying, you know, without ceasing, just like the Bible tells you, just pray without ceasing, pray. And I was praying the whole time. And the Lord, amazingly enough, we ended up at a hotel we weren't even supposed to end up in. We were supposed to be in a hotel outside of Port-au-Prince. And the driver more or less drove us into the middle of the city and pulled over to the side. I'm wondering, like, where are we? Like, why are we even stopping here right now? He's like unpacking our luggage, and I'm like, oh my God, what is going on right now? And lo and behold, it's just amazing that, like, the Lord was almost kind of like grinning over us, kind of like, you guys have nothing to worry about. I had everything under control the whole time. You guys were worrying about it. And the main blessing that I got out of this trip was to put my 100% faith in the Lord. And he's been guiding me ever since I put my life in his hands, and he's took me under his shoulders. And I just want to thank the Lord and thank everybody here for just believing in Christ, and he'll do everything for us.
I think I have a big enough mouth. Testing. All right. Last year when they mentioned going to Haiti, I remember, 6, 7, 8 years ago, our church family here going to Africa, and I remember deep down inside, I always wanted to go. Not for any fun, I just, you know, I wanted to serve the Lord that way, and for a long time, it was something that, like, I just never had that opportunity to go. And then I remember last year when Maurice was here and getting to know him, and then Pastor mentioned going to Haiti, it was at that point when the Lord let me know that's where you're going to go, you know. God lets you know, you know, in his own way. And I was like, all right, like, I just, the peace and the understanding, I knew, like, that was where I was supposed to go. And so he opened that door for me, and going there last year with Frank and Dan and, you know, obviously Pastor, it was a good experience because, you know, I mean, for those of you who know Dan, you know, he's very, like, you know, he's very Dan, you know. You know, I had to pull some things out of him, and, you know, but it was a blessing. And Frank, you know, you got to sleep with Jason last year. I got to sleep with Frank last year. And, it was a blessing. And obviously, Pastor, I mean, you know, I'm not going to lift him up because he knows he doesn't deserve it. But, but he doesn't, because the truth of the matter is there's one that deserves to be lifted up. And, we did learn a lot of lessons there. And going this time around, it wasn't like I was this big experienced, you know, guy on trips. It's only the second time I've ever done this. But I did know about the ones and the twos and the threes. And for you that don't know, that is the 4.5-hour drive to where Pastor Maurice is. As you're seeing your life flash before your eyes, you get to call out a number. One means, I wasn't too scared. Two means, I was kind of thinking about my will, and three means get ready to see the Lord. So, you know, as we're driving, we're shouting out 2, 3, 1, you know. Maurice is looking at us like, you know, brother, this is ridiculous. But, you know, and I remember too when when Pastor talked about the guys that were coming. I mean, obviously I know Chris, you know, from the team and, you know, from sitting in front of him every Sunday and watching him play the piano. But I didn't know Jason really well. I mean, I knew him, I've seen him, I've said hello, but, and even, you know, being with Chris, when you're out there, you know, there's special bonds that are formed beyond sleeping with each other. And like, and going out, and just like, you know, you see, you know, people's heart, and you see just some, you just see things different in people, and you know, and going out there and dealing with, you know, seeing the people there, it's hard. I mean, you know, he talked about that young man that he saw, you know, walking around. I mean, yeah, it's a surreal, you know, it's sad. And you do want to empty out your pockets, and you do want to help these people, and you do wish you could feed 5,000. But then you realize, you know, I kept saying to myself over and over again, I mean, is it better to enter into, you know, hell with two eyes and a filled belly and money in my pocket, or is it better to enter into heaven, you know, blind or lame or... And I just kept having to try to remind myself, you know, that was the most important thing, you know, the salvation of these people. And, you know, it's true. I mean, I sometimes just the simplicity of the life, like going out every day, we came home, we got up in the morning, we prayed, we would all read our Bibles. You know, the morning, it was like a different life, you know, it was... You know, it was almost like you got detox from the garbage that we have here, you know? And, you know, at night you read your Bible. There's no TV. There's no Yankees. There's, you know, none of that stuff. And, you know, it was good. You know, it really was. It was, you know, it was good. And, I mean, there's so many stories. There's so many different things that we can talk about. I don't know what pitches Pastor chose, but one of the things that was on my heart was the people there are very desperate. One of the things that we learned to say was in French was because a lot of times when you hand out the tracts, like Chris said, Jason, I mean, you learned to do this. I mean, at one point it was almost like you were dancing, you know, you were getting, I mean, it really is amazing the way, I mean, and everyone's on scooters and driving by, so you learn to give out tracks like at 40 miles an hour. I mean, you don't get to do that out here. I mean, it's, you know, and you see them reaching, so you learn like the right way to do it, because they got to do it with the other hand, so you got to be able to, you know, and it's just, you know, and it was amazing. And then Pastor Maurice went and picked up this church. We had kind of like what we're going to do next week, you know, like a Bible conference. They kind of had like this mini Bible conference, you know, and you don't realize it. Like, you know, we come here and you got that annoying air conditioner, and sometimes, you know, you're like, oh, it's annoying or this. And, you know, you go there's no windows in the church, you know. I mean, it you know, it's hot. It's just like, it's just so, it's such a different life. And some of the people there, you know, don't get it, but, you know, some do, and yeah, and you don't see them complaining, you know. And I was over telling Jason, move the curtain. I saw a little breeze coming from over there, you know, open the window there. And we have pictures of Jason doing, you know, window every night. He was doing the curtain guy, and, you know, but I mean, like, you know, for what? And then, like, you know, after a while, I was just like, you know, like, you just understand, like, it's almost like the whole week. You know, the whole week there, yeah, there was, like, you know, Christmas's wife, and, you know, I know Jason, you know, we missed our families, you missed the luxuries, and it was like, I don't know, it was almost like I felt, for me, the Lord just brought us and allowed us to serve Him and allowed us to work until we got to that day, that last day in the airport. We prayed about and thought about, instead of having Pastor Maurice drive us 4 hours and then have him drive back 4 hours, we were going to take this small flight. That was the flight that Chris looked like he was made of ivory. When I looked over, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Pat's looking out the window. Jason's next to me. I looked over, and Chris was like this. And I was like, woo, we need to pray for him. And but he made it. He made it. He didn't throw up all over. And he said he would have if there was one of those bags. So, but... You know, so like, you know, we got there and you know, so we get to the airport and, you know, we're excited to go home and we knew we were a little late. And, you know, when we got to the desk and we found out that the plane was, you know, locked out, I can't speak for Chris or Jason or Pastor what went on in their heart. I know what went on in my heart. And I was complaining. You know, I was grumbling. I was upset. I mean, I wasn't mad, like, you know, but I didn't have the right attitude because I forgot, like, for that moment, I forgot why we went there. Like, sometimes you read in the Word of God, like, you think, like, how did the disciples, how did they not know? And, you know, how did they deny, you, Peter denied Christ three times? Like, how did he do that? You know, and here you are at the airport forgetting what you were doing, who you were serving, what it is that you were doing, and then you realize why. You know, you realize you're just as, you know, thick-headed as the rest of them. And, you know, so there we were at the airport and, you know, oh wait, one thing I forgot to say, and I didn't want to make any jokes, I really wanted to be serious, but I have to do this because don't ever go to, like, fly over, like, a mountain or any dangerous flight with Pastor, because if you crash, okay, he will eat you. He will eat you because every day that we were there, and he knows my makeup. I'm a baby. I'm like the, you know, one night I had like a potato. You know, Pat is sucking on cartilage, you know. He's like, you know, he's like, this is good. And I remember when he first got married, he's like, my wife is the best cook in the world. And I was like, wow, he's lucky. I don't know, is it Margaret that's the best cook in the world, or he'll just eat anything? You know, I don't know. I'm sure you're a great cook, but, you know. And it was just funny because just every, no matter what it was, he ate it. It didn't matter. And the rest we'll keep in secret. But I had to say that. But anyway, so in all seriousness, you know, here we were at that, you know, at that moment. And kind of like me, Jason, and Chris went off the side, and we let Pastor do his thing, you know. And in my heart, it was almost like I was trusting, like, not that I was trusting in Pastor to get it done, but I was almost, I guess in some way I was. I was like, yeah, he'll talk to them, you know, almost taking my eyes off the Lord and like just thinking, oh, Pastor will talk to them. Until, now this is Saturday night, you know, so, you know, we're supposed to land at 12 o'clock. So I'm thinking, all right, maybe we'll miss church. And, you know, but, we'll, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we'll be home soon until he comes back. And he's like, all right, guys, don't, you know, don't panic. The next flight out of here. And as I'm waiting for him to say Monday, you know, Sunday, he goes, Thursday. And I was like, so all I'm thinking is that 4.5 hour ride, 3, 2, 1, you know, and you know, going back to Maurice And this is where, for me, like, a lesson that I really, when I came home, I prayed about it, and I hope I will never stop praying about it, but this is really what the lesson was for me, and maybe it was similar for some of the guys, but, you know, when he came that night, when Pastor came back and said, you know, listen, we're not going to be there till we're not going to get out of here till maybe Thursday, Jason had to be home Monday night. I mean, Tuesday morning, he had to be in Manhattan. So at that point, all of us were willing to forsake a seat because Pastor had Chris flying on Wednesday or, you know, me this day. You know, I had to fly with one leg up and, you know, like we were all scattered all over. He was doing the best that he could. He put himself last. I mean, you know, we have a good pastor, you know. But, I mean, you know, so he, you know, and it wasn't good enough because we had no flight for him to get home on Monday. So, you know, now, I never knew this about, you know, about Haiti, but you can go to any airport in America and the stores may close, but the airport's open 24 hours a day. Well, not in Haiti. Haiti, it closes at 8 o'clock. So we're doing this now for like, you know, four and a half hours at the desk, and, you know, sit, and now it's almost 8 o'clock. The lights are off. Now, when you go in the airport in the middle of the day, there's a million beggars and cabs, and, you know, we go outside. Now it's like, you know, we have to get out. The lights are closing, you know. So the plan was, let's get a hotel and come back to the airport the next day. There's 3 or 4 airlines that fly out. Let's see what happens. You know, that was the plan. We called Maurice. He was supposed to send back a driver that drove us. He has a guy that we know. This guy was supposed to come back to get us. So we go outside, and 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and like Chris said, there's a guy sitting there looking to hustle the cab ride. He's looking to charge us double what we pay the other guy, but that's, you know, that's not the problem. So, you know, me, Mr. Tough Guy, you know, I'm like, how much to take us to this airport? So he says, $40. I'm like, get out of here. I go to one other guy that just had pulled up. I go, how much to take us to this airport? I'm going to show this guy. Guy goes, $80. So at that point, they start talking to each other. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, whatever it is, living in New York, whatever you want to call it, I start saying to myself, you know, there's nobody around. There's no 911. There's no American rights. There's no embassy. There's nothing. I mean, we're literally at whose mercy? And it started to hit me, whose mercy I was really in. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, it was like the Lord done all those things, and now He got me to the point where I really, like, it was almost like my mind was so used to being home or being an American or having rights that I had to keep reminding myself, you have no rights. There is no home. It was almost like every time I got to that point, it was like that. There was the Lord, just like, you know, all right, listen. So, you know, now, you know, here it is, we're about a half hour, this guy's not coming. And I don't know if the other guys were thinking that, I don't know if Pastor was thinking, but he didn't want to say nothing. But I'm saying to myself, who's to say that this guy's a cab driver? You know what I mean? So when he, you know, and that's when I don't know if Chris felt the same way, or I said something to him, but I'm thinking, like, maybe this guy's not a cab driver. You know, maybe this guy, he don't know, you know, we all gave away our shampoo. I mean, we were going home. We had not, I had no deodorant. I mean, you know, other than Chris. So Chris's wife, Deb, not for nothing. Chris was almost Frank Teramina Jr. He had everything in his suitcase. But, you know, praise the Lord for a good wife. And, you know, Mr. Me, you know, I had nothing, like, you know. But we gave everything away, and, you know, so here we were. And, you know, so this guy's not coming back. And anyway, long story short, you know, I really feared that, you know, this guy had some kind of, like, worn out little piece of paper on some, you know, like, necklace thing that was supposed to represent that he was a cab driver. And at that point, I was scared. I really was scared. I was scared because I'm like, you know, he don't know that, you know, I had $18 left, and he don't know, you know, we're four white guys in Haiti at in dark. I mean, you know, forget the black-white thing. We're in another country now. I mean, you know, I was like, you know, and we were right at that point where we were going to get in this guy's car, and this is where everything changed. All of a sudden, here comes Gustav, I think his name was. We, you know, and I was just like, oh, Lord, thank you, you know. Now, mind you, you know, Jay Stoll's, you know, we have no idea. We don't have any idea or nothing. We just know, okay, Gustav's here, okay. You know, and then this is where the lesson began for everybody because, you know, for me is that here this guy comes back, puts us in the cab, drives us to a hotel that him and Pastor Maurice worked out. He was supposed to take us to another hotel. This guy made a mistake. So he thought. There was no mistakes. The Lord put us right exactly where we want because we go to a hotel, and yes, we open the door, there's a guy with a shotgun, you know, I'm like, you know, and there's like fire down the street, and I'm like, you know, Jesus, unloading this stuff, and I open the door, and the guy's like, shh, you know, and I was like, hello, you know, I'd like a room and a fresh pair of shorts. But the, you know, what had happened was is these people had no idea we were coming there. Pastor Maurice had called the hotel that this guy was supposed to take us to. This guy's thinking he made a mistake. We get into this hotel, and it was founded by a husband and wife called the Walls. They were Christian missionaries. So here we are in this hotel in Haiti with scripture verse on the wall, you know. I mean, and it was like all of a sudden it was like, you know, I'm looking over there at my Bible. See, I'm thumbing through my Bible, and I'm looking at all the times the Lord said, like, don't worry. Like, what are you worried about? You know? And it was like at that point where really, like, I was at that airport, from where I was in that airport to where we were in this hotel. Like, and then the guy comes back, like, a half hour later. He says, no, you're at the wrong hotel. And they're like, no, we're in the right hotel. You know? I don't know how many rooms were in the hotel, We opened the door. We had the only hotel room with an air conditioner. You know, it was like 7 days. And I'm like, I sound like a big sissy. Ooh. But I mean, you know, I mean, it's hot in Haiti. We get a room with an air conditioner. We get, you know, we go outside. We found out that the phones are down, but there's a computer. We go on the out, you know, right near the computer, there's an underground pool, which is smelled like it's clean. So all of a sudden, it was like all these things, and it was almost like, you know, we get on the computer. Now, Jace still has to get home, so like we're kind of like, you know, more worried about him. We log on, we get a flight, Chris is doing his thing, you know, he kind of was the computer guy there. You know, we're like, go to this, go to that, go to this, you know. And, you know, and again, I can't speak for, you know, Chris or Jason or Pastor where they were. This is not something that hasn't happened to Pastor before. You know, so you know, just having a brother that's been there, who's been stranded in another country, you know, it was good because he was kind of maybe grounded. Maybe he was grounded because he was in the room reading his Bible, you know. And we went out and we got him. And long story short, we got a flight. You know, praise the Lord, we got a flight. Jason was, you know, it seemed like, you know, like we had a confirmation of an itinerary. We still went to the airport the next day, but it was like that night. We went from a desperate situation in another country, not knowing what was going to happen, to, you know, Chris on Pastor's shoulders, chicken fight, you know. But we were in a hotel, we were in a pool, you know, we were able to pray. The next morning we got up, we went to the airport, we confirmed what we had, we came home, we had fellowship, you know, it was just good. The night we went home, we got up, you know, we prayed and we read and, you know, it was a blessing. You know, I'm grateful that the Lord allowed me to go. Lord willing, if it comes up again, you know, if the Lord feels that He wants me there, you know, Lord willing, hopefully I can. He'll make it happen. You know, like Jay said. And I mean, that's really it.
Amen.
Well, we don't have a long slideshow. There's really, I think, only 48 pictures. So, but they do kind of tell the story. The biggest blessing for me, I think, of the whole week was not only finally getting home, but also the. I think I said this on Sunday morning. The times that we had, for me personally, the times that were the best during that week happened to be times when I realized somebody back here was praying for us. Thursday morning, had an awesome time in God's Word and just fellowshipping with the Lord, and then it hit me, wow, this is Thursday morning, the prayer meeting's going on, somebody's praying. And that day, two people got saved in the street, including the lady that got on the bus and got saved. And Wednesday night, while you guys were here having church praying for us, we were having a revival meeting there, and that was the only night of the three nights that I preached that somebody got saved. We had two people saved that night, and it dawned on me a day or so later. It was Wednesday night. Somebody was praying for us. So while you were praying here, it seemed like those, you know, the Lord was just blessing in unusual ways there. So I appreciate that. Okay, we'll just go through these real quick, and hopefully you'll just get a little taste. Of what the week was like for us. I don't want to get in anybody's way here. All right. Well, you used to get an airline, you used to get a flight and you got a meal. But anymore, you get crackers and cheese. And this is the start of our trip. This is Jason savoring his dinner on the plane. It's a cracker and cheese. This is Chris savoring his dinner. They were raisins. this was arriving in Port-au-Prince in the capital. Do we need to turn these lights out or everybody can see okay? See all right? Just a few scenes here from the capital city. We're just driving. It was about a 4.5-hour drive from the capital back to Maurice's town. And I got to tell you, I didn't know what these guys were. I was sitting in the front seat. These guys were in the back seat, all three of them. And I hear them back there as we're driving on these bumpy, crazy, mountainous roads. And they're going, one, two, that's a three. And it was like 2 hours before I finally asked, what are you guys talking about back there? And Carl, having been in Haiti before and having experienced Maurice's driving,
Maurice's driving will keep you right with God. And Carl had I was it your idea to give everything a number. So number three was your life is flashing before you. But the best scene was we were coming around a curve, passing a bus at about 70 miles an hour on a curve up a hill. And as we're in the curve beside the bus, another bus is coming around us. And Jason goes, 12. I was like, oh, that was, we all saw our lives flash before our eyes right there. Anyway, this is part of the road. This was a good part of the road on the way from Port-au-Prince to the area where Maurice lives. And that's, we saw three of these on the way to Lakai. These were all, this is a bus that ran off the road. They're trying to get it back on the road. And then a little further, there's another one that went off the road. These mountainous, curvy roads, no guardrails. And these guys fly along there, I mean, 60, 70 miles an hour. The dust is flying. And this was a bus. Maurice said this one had happened the week before we were there. And most of the people on that one were killed. And then there was this one, a truck down the side of the mountain, off the edge of the road. You can see there's, it's pretty easy to go off the roads there. But anyway, that's Maurice, in case you don't know him. He's the guy on the left, and that's our missionary. This is his wife, in case you've never seen a picture of her. They're newlyweds. They got married, December, I think, this past December. She's expecting their first child. Here's our group. The guy on the right is Moise. That's Pastor Maurice's kind of right-hand man. Moise is single, very faithful, good preacher. That's the guy that leads the singing. And then, of course, there's Jason. And the guy next to him is Simone, a very faithful man, married with two or three small children, very faithful in the church. And then Carl. And then the guy beside Carl is Adam. You might remember him because he's actually from Jack Patterson's ranch. And he had finished the program there and moved back to Haiti. And he had heard from Jack that we were going to be in Haiti, so Adam hooked up with us for several days. He took a bus to where we were, and we had a good time with Adam. He was the guy I got to sleep with. We were in a and the first night, he was only there for two of the nights, and it's a full size bed, and we're trying to figure out where's Adam going to go. So I said, well, he could sleep in my bed, and but that night I was afraid. You know, in my sleep, I don't know, I'm going to roll over and hug him or something. I wasn't sure what I'd do. So I put my pillow on the floor, and I slept on the floor after he was asleep. I just got on the floor, put my pillow on the floor, on the tile floor, and slept there all night like a baby. The second night, I went to bed early because I was exhausted. I get up in the morning, and Adam is sleeping on the floor. So neither one of us actually slept together. So anyway, this is a picture of Dodo. And the guy on the left is his name is no that is Dodo on the left. He's another he's another one of the real faithful guys in Maurice's church. Young man, very very good young man. And this is why we primarily went. That's a bag, two bags of tracts. We printed 50,000 tracts in our print shop. The Creole and the French tracts were the first ones to come off our press, and. And we weren't able, we almost didn't take these to Haiti because we got to the airport at Newark and they told us we couldn't take them because they were all packed in cardboard boxes and they don't take cardboard boxes to Haiti. So right there in the airport with about an hour and a half to catch our flight, they told us we had to unpack them and put them in suitcases, which we had none of. We had no suitcases. So Carl found some duffel bags. We had to buy duffel bags, eight of them at $35 each, and two of them were $45, and we had to put all the tracks in the duffel bags, and then that's how we got them into Haiti. But and here we are just going out from Maurice's house around the neighborhood, getting ready to just go from house to house with these tracks. And the next maybe 10 or 15 pictures are just pictures of us giving out the tracks. We couldn't speak the language, obviously, but we had some of the Haitian guys with us, and they were witnessing and preaching and trying to lead people to Christ all along the way. We just had a great time. It was a real, real blessing just to be walking through these neighborhoods and talking to people. And like Carl or somebody said, I don't remember anybody actually turning a track down from me. It did happen, but not usually. And if it weren't for the language barrier, I think we probably could have talked to every single person. They would have stopped and talked to you about the Lord. And just the language barrier, that all that's the only thing that stood in the way. That's Simone. That was a house under construction, and he went in and just given out tracts to all the workers. The kid on the right? The little boy on the right was took a stack of tracts and was handing them out to his friends. You can't see, but I think that's, well, you can see the guy in the white shirt, he's back there. That's one of the little roadside vendors just selling used sneakers and used clothing. And you see that all up and down the streets there. One of the Haitian guys preaching the gospel to one of the vendors. A lady, I don't know how they do that, but balancing that thing on her head while she's reading a tract. Simone witnessing to a couple of men. This is in the downtown part of Lakai, and that was where it was really crazy. We went out the last day that we were there, and in about 40 minutes, it was just a few of us, in 40 minutes we handed out 1,600 tracts. And it was just amazing that we got them out that fast. Downtown, this is one of the main streets in downtown Lakai. That's actually the town market. That's a whole city block big on the left-hand side. The inside of that is just dozens and dozens of like food vendors and all kinds of stuff in there. That's Simone? Maurice. Maurice, okay. Back up one. Can you go back? That's this is Maurice's house, right? Wait, where are we here? This is his house right here, right? Yeah, this is Maurice's house, Pastor Maurice. And you can see he had an 8-foot wall around his house and had some people actually try to climb over it and climb over that razor wire. So he put another two, last year he added another 2 feet to the wall. Big iron gate, has to stay locked all the time. And so it's just a real difficult place to carry out the ministry, but that's where he lives. This was some of the young men that got saved that week, several boys there just bowing their heads and asking the Lord to save them. And this was on Thursday. I don't know if you can see the picture very well, but that's a young lady kneeling in the front of the bus that we were using. She had gotten a tract. She saw a gospel tract in her friend's purse. And she didn't actually get it from us, but she saw her friend walking around with it, and she took the tract and read it, and she called Maurice and told Maurice she wanted to get saved. He invited her to come to the meeting that night, but she said she wanted to get saved right then. So we took the bus and drove over to where she was, and she came on the bus, and Maurice gave her the gospel there right at the front. She kneeled down, and she asked the Lord to save her. This is inside we borrowed a church building, and one of the pastors that was participating in the meeting, he let us use his church building. And so there were two or three churches that came together for a three-night revival meeting. So there's just some pictures there of the crowd. This is actually learning. This is us learning the only phrase we actually learned in Creole. Pagay? No. Muy pagay la jong. They're teaching us how to say, I don't have any money. Because when you're handing out the tracts, they want the tract, but then they want money. So. You can see where, well, at least I am a slow learner. This, believe it or not, this came in handy all week long. Because you needed to let everybody know, I have no money. All right, you could skip that. Oh yeah, then we asked them, how do you say give me money? Just turn the tables on them. A Haitian would probably not expect an American to ask for money, but anyway, you could skip this, Dustin. Okay. All right, this is inside the service. I think we also have a video of some of the singing. Just do like about 10 seconds of it. Okay. All right. And this is Simone, and I think that's one of his kids. Chris, making friends. These kids are so easy to love. They're very sweet kids. Well, then the last day that we were there, we had several of the churches came together for a picnic. Maurice was expecting about 50 or 60 and had bought food for 50 or 60, and we had about 100 that showed up. And had to rent a couple of vehicles to help get everybody there to this picnic spot. But we had this was actually a Bible study that we were having at the picnic, and like a question and answer time. This is the spot down by the ocean, and really nice little picnic area. And this was the Bible study. It's kind of sad because there were two pastors, Haitian pastors, in this group. And the questions that they were asking after the Bible study were really, kind of mind-boggling, because it was obvious even the pastors did not understand the simplest doctrine, and they could not figure out how somebody could be justified by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so there's a lot of confusion about doctrine, and they really need some basic Bible doctrine taught to them there. Just some of the games we played. That's actually a homemade birdie for the badminton game. We couldn't find a birdie, so we got some rubber and some banana leaves or something, and we made a birdie. This is some of the guys, the people at the picnic, some of the kids coming up. And I just want to say, the guys, hold it there, they really only had, the guys were a great testimony. They were a real blessing. They only had a few complaints. Number one, the heat. Number two, the food. No, that's not the food. And number three, Maurice's driving. And this was the shortest clip I had. It's not the best one to show you, but this is Maurice driving a 66-passenger bus. And I think Maurice's philosophy is press the gas, honk the horn, and hope everybody gets out of your way. I mean, really, because I just felt bad for a lot of the people that I know we must have scared them to death as we were driving. I wish we had video of the drive from Port-au-Prince to Lakai. It really was amazing. But after Brother Maurice is able to get up a full steam ahead here, it's just honk the horn and hope everybody gets out of your way. And almost everybody did. There were a few bumps in the road. I don't know what they were, but... Yeah, that's good. All right. And then, hold it there. Now, because the guys did not want to take the car ride back to Port-au-Prince with Maurice, I told them, I said, you sure? They were so desperate not to take that ride, Jay even offered to buy everybody's plane ticket if we could fly back to Port-au-Prince. He didn't have to do that, but they definitely didn't want to take that drive. So anyway, the day before we left, we bought the tickets on this plane. And of course, the plane is an hour late, and that's what caused all the problems. And we got to Port-au-Prince late, and we missed our flight. And so we got to spend an extra 2 days in Haiti because the guys did not want to ride with Maurice. So anyway, but we had all the comforts of home. Air conditioning, that was our room in the hotel. Security, there's the guys with the shotguns. Swimming pool. And a computer room to do some work in. And then finally, it's the last shot right there. That's a Delta. We're never so happy to see a plane, I think, in our lives, and to get on that plane and get home. So we just thank the Lord for His mercy, His goodness to us. And 11 people got saved, and nobody got sick, at least not deathly sick. Everybody came home with all their parts. And we're just so thankful for our church praying for us, and the encouragement that I think it was to Brother Maurice. We go down there not only just to further the work, but also just to encourage the missionary. He's been there for, I think, 6 years, and we're the only church, and I'm the only pastor that's been to see him in those 6 years. And so it's a big, big help to him just to know that he's not forgotten, to know that people are interested and are praying for him. And it's also a help to his church because it gives their pastor kind of credibility. You know, when they see that, okay, he's not some lone ranger out here just doing something on his own. He actually has people at home praying for him, helping him, and think enough of him to come down here and assist him a little bit. So it really helps the missionary's credibility with his people to do this. So we're just thankful the Lord gave us the opportunity, and thankful to God for His mercy and just His goodness. It was a great, great trip, and I thank the Lord we had the chance to do it. So the next one is coming up to the Philippines, and if anybody be interested in being a part of the next slideshow, come and see me. All right? Okay, let's pray. Thank you for your attention. Father, we do thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for the privilege of printing your word and being able to take it and distribute it ourselves. We thank you for the work that you established in Haiti and for the missionary that was willing to live without a lot of the creature comforts that we enjoy here and take for granted. And Lord, we pray that you would protect our brother and his wife and the baby that they're expecting. We pray that you would protect that church and help it to grow, help the people to learn your word and learn sound doctrine and to come to understand the truths that we have, Lord, been taught here for years and years. And Lord, some of the basic things, for them it seems like brand new truth. But Lord, we pray that you'd help them open their hearts, give them understanding, and let that work be established, Lord, on some solid foundation. And help Brother Maurice, give him wisdom, Lord, as he does this. Thank you for the men that went with us. Thank you for their testimonies. Thank you for the things that you taught us, just the ways that you showed yourself so strong and so good, Lord. Thank you for all that you gave us and that you did for us. And Father, we pray that you'd help our church here, Lord, that our hearts would always be in the uttermost, not only, Lord, to do your work here at home, but Father, to remember those places like Haiti where there's seldom an opportunity for people to hear your word or to hear the true gospel. And Father, help us to be faithful, and wherever you open a door for us, might we be willing to go. And thank you for this time together tonight. We pray for everybody now as we go home, Lord. We just ask for your mercy this evening, and use us throughout this week and prepare us, Lord, for the meetings ahead. And we just thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. In Jesus' name we ask these things now. Amen. Amen.
All right. All right, amen.